welcome to Halftime on 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport on a Friday afternoon. We change tack a bit. We get a little bit loose because the weekend's not too far away and we go casual on Casual Friday. Great to have your company. Stick around for the next 4 hours, for the next two particularly, with Richo and Rita. We'll get to them very, very shortly. We've got a very big show coming up on Casual Friday. Great to have some of the world's finest athletes with us very, very shortly, in fact. He'll be joining us. A big show coming up. What's up with Rita after 1 o'clock? Of course, Bulldust will be there and plenty more observations through the week. And we build up to Mother's Day, of course, on Sunday. Don't forget about Mother's Day. That's a bad thing to do if you are, well, if one's still with you or you are married to one. Don't forget that. That's a bad thing to do. I've done that before. It's not ideal. We've got a big show after that, Matty. Russell from Fox Sports will join us. Adam Peacock as well in the build-up to the big semi-final between the Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City at Etihad Stadium tonight in the A-League. And then Tomo's in after three. The big people's hamstring, the national tipping champion, will join us after three for the Friday footy preview. Lots to look forward to. Richo is back again after a week at the Warrnambool Festival. Hello, Richo.
Wowee, what a festival that was. That was extraordinary. Welcome one and all. I'm about to vacate this chair because my man, Slick Willie's going to take over my chair.
Willie's about to take over
so I can get
chair.
A little bit closer to Sweet Jay over in the other sort of area. That's the way I'm trying to operate here. But
yes.
good afternoon, one and all. Welcome to, well, not so casual of a Friday.
Why's
because,
that?
Well, we've got some royalty.
Well,
you can't be casual when you've got sporting royalty around.
No, that's probably true. That's why we get the Persian princess in, just to drag it back a touch. Hello, Rita.
Hello.
Oh, there it is.
Hello.
Hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
And girls.
Hey, I can remember as a youngster going to Kooyong. I reckon I was Kooyong.
I remember Glass House.
No. Kooyong. And watching the Harlem Globetrotters. They were playing...
At Kooyong.
They were playing against the Washington Generals, who gave them one hell of a run.
Not the Generals. Not the Generals again.
Did they win in the end?
Well, class always comes through. Don't you worry about that. And they had the guy, and our team will tell us all about that very shortly. Sweet Jay will tell us. But they had the... I think his name is Curly. And he was down on his knees. He was doing a lot of knees sort
of
stuff.
And then
there was the big funny guy that was doing the throwing around the back, the back. Oh, it's all good stuff.
It is all good stuff. And that's pretty much the show. Let's find out. Let's catch up with the Harlem Globetrotters. Well, last week in the studio, not in the Casual Friday studio, but the other studio, we had the great Hulk Hogan in the studio. Today we've got the Harlem Globetrotters. We are global here on SEN at the moment, and it's great to have Slick Willie Shaw and Sweet Jay with us. Hello, team.
Hey.
Hey,
great to
doing?
Be here,
mate. Hey, mate. Oh,
g'day, mate. Yeah, nice work. I was
trying my Australian accent.
Have you been trying that? Is that one thing you try and do?
Yeah. G'day, mate. How that sound?
That's pretty good.
Thank you. I think I should be a citizen now.
We're happy to have you. How'd you go last night, by the way? Did you get a win?
No, we didn't play tonight. We're here promoting our game. We don't play here till June 20th.
Oh, yeah,
we're
here last night.
We're here to get everybody excited. We're just making our runs, you know, visit a couple of youngsters, you know, interacting with them.
Yep.
You know, we wanted to stop by and say hello to you guys, you know.
Terrific.
And we're just here to get people excited about the Harlem Globetrotters coming back. It's funny that my man said the Washington Generals. This year when we come back, we're bringing our 2015 Washington Generals Revenge World Tour. We haven't played those guys in over 5 years.
That's true.
And like he said, the last time, it wasn't that day, but the last time we lost to them was 1971. So those guys want to relive that 71 moment. You know?
Right.
We're not
that's fair enough.
That's fair enough.
Well, we can't have that.
How does it work with the ladies? Because back in my day, at the Glass House, it was an all-male affair. But now we've got sisters in there.
There you go. You know, you always need a woman to keep things together. And now I'm the 12th female who has done that in the 89-year history. So the first female came in 1985. So I don't know when you went to go see it, but yeah, 1985.
Must have been 84.
Oh, okay. Yeah, must have been 84. Was the first female. And so, you know, I just tried out, you know, got to play with the guys. They're so athletic. And, you know, now instead of passing to a girl from an all-female team to do a layup, now, you know, I'm throwing it to somebody who's doing a 360 dunk and, you know, just throwing it down ferociously. Yeah. You know, I can't do that. I have to stretch a little bit and grow a little bit taller. But, you know, it's cool to throw it to people who can. So they amaze me every day.
So where did you guys fit in? When did you get into the Globetrotter system, you two?
This is my 11th season. 11 years ago, I was playing in an all-star game in Vegas when the Globetrotters see me. And here I am 11 years later, you know, talking to you guys. First time I've been to 76 countries all over the world. I've been to every state in the United States of America. America, Australia has just made my 76th country, so I'm very excited to be in the land down under.
And we are very happy to have you.
Yeah, this is my second season, so I actually didn't know there were females on the team until one of my friends who was on the team said there were. So I tried out, and now I'm in my second season. And, you know, not only do you have to be a good basketball player, but you have to have some pretty good character and energy.
Yeah.
You know, he's over here yelling about the land down under. But it's great energy and great character, so, and here we are.
And I remember as a young fella, and Richo was talking about his memories before, but the Globetrotters were massive. Massive. They had their own cartoon show, for goodness sake. And then, you know you're massive when you make it to Gilligan's Island. That was a highlight for me, seeing the Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island.
That
were
those
big for you guys when you were kids?
Funny story. I never seen the Harlem Globetrotters play growing up. I never seen the school. To this day, I still haven't seen Scooby-Doo.
I'm going to get you a DVD, man.
No, I got to get it. You know? I sign them almost every day, but I never seen it. But I never heard of them. I heard of them, I mean, but I never seen them. My first time seeing them was my first game, 11 years ago at the Staples Center. And right then and there, it's 15,000 people. I had Al Pacino at the game, Dr. Dre, Pamela Anderson sitting on the bench with her two sons. I was like, wow. Right then and there, I knew I was getting myself a part of something special, though.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Sweet Chad? I mean, did you grow up with them?
You know, I heard of them, and everyone was just like, they're wizards with the basketball. But I never saw a game until the day I tried out. And then after my tryout, I sat through a game in Houston. And I was like, oh, my gosh, there's so much to take in. And I was like, just kind of like nervous because I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be doing this here in a little bit. But now I'm doing it in my second season, and it's so much fun. And just the impact that we make on just females, men, they come up to us after the game, kids, you know, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And then people just are nostalgic about it. They're like, I remember when I was 12 or
Absolutely.
Back in the 70s or back in the 80s, you know, when I saw them. So now we're those stories. The kids are going to be like, oh, I remember seeing Sweet Jay, you know, and Slick, you know, he was kind of a foggy memory, but no, he's actually probably one they would really remember because he's really good with the two basketballs and he does a lot of tricks. And so, you know, now we're those people instead of Curry Lineal and Metal Arc Lemon that their kids are talking about.
Well, it's fantastic. And you talk about 76 countries, Slick.
Absolutely.
And the energy you were talking about before, Sweet Joe, that I imagine wherever you go, you've got tremendous goodwill. People Absolutely. Would love to see you. And it doesn't matter what their background is or how much basketball they've played, the Globetrotters are a really important brand around the world for goodwill.
Absolutely. We're known for ambassadors of goodwill, like you said. It doesn't matter the background, your race, your color, your ethnicity, you know, your culture. This basketball, that red, white, and blue, and the Globetrotters brings everyone together.
Yeah.
You know, we're known for our tricks on the basketball court, but our greatest tricks is bringing families together. You know, not only do we do things on the court, you know, we're ambassadors of goodwill. We have an ABCs, a bullying prevention program, where we go to schools and raise awareness of bullying. We have a smile patrol where we go to children's hospitals, you know, put smiles on some kids' faces who are going through a tough time in their life. And then we have a spin program where we encourage kids to get out there for an hour a day. And a spin is an acronym for some play time is necessary.
Yeah.
Like, we see that beautiful court over there and nobody's out there. So we encourage kids to get out there.
Time. You can't be getting out of school.
Yeah, right
just
now. But, you know, get off your iPads and get off, you know, and go outside and play. And we encourage all those things.
Now, you've been to 76 countries.
Absolutely.
I want your top five, honest top five list of the greatest places you've been. Yeah.
Top five, Italy's one.
Yep. That's mine.
With Spain.
Now he's under the
Australia.
Now
Australia.
No, don't give us the token Australia.
No, Australia, definitely. You know,
genuinely,
Australia.
No,
I love Australia.
That's the easy one. That's the easy one.
Two to go.
I love Canada.
Canada's
good. Interesting.
How many is that? Is one more?
One more.
You've been up north, Sweden? Have you been somewhere around there?
I've been to Switzerland. I've been to, you know, all that
UK?
Sweden.
You like
but
the UK, don't you?
In the UK, I would have to say the UK, yeah.
Yeah.
In London, I love that.
Nice work. Now, how often are you training? What sort of schedule are you doing with your training? Because when you're putting the ball where the ball goes with you guys and girls, it's not, that doesn't happen naturally.
No, actually, before the Globetrotters, I didn't even know how to spin the ball on my fingers. So,
really? How'd you get a gig then?
I don't know. I don't know how. No, I'm just kidding.
That's where you need a camera in the studio.
Right. I need to go on a radio, I guess.
Lifts with two hands is all I can say.
No, we're actually really good basketball players. Everybody, they've gone through college. Slick played at St. John's University, which is in the Big Big East. So he's playing top guys that are in the NBA and all this stuff. He played semi-pro. I played in the WNBA. I played overseas in Poland and Italy. So everyone has an extensive basketball resume. So that's all you really needed at first, but not obviously. You know, I had to sleep with the basketball. I had to do an hour a day at least in the hotel rooms, wherever I could, just trying to spin the ball. Because that's our trademark. I couldn't go to place and people are like, hey, you're a Globetrotter. And I'm like, yeah, but I can't spin. You know, that sounds crazy. You know, that would sound crazy. So I just it's just as good as you want to be. And then you find your niche and your routine with the ball, and that's what you do and practice your craft.
Do you have any sympathy at all for the poor old Generals? They just cannot win a game. 71, as you said before. So it's been a long time. It's been a long drought.
Yeah,
and my understanding is they haven't gone through that many coaches. They've showed great faith in that coach.
You know, they really believe in them. You know, loyalty. At least they're loyal to Sasha. You know, I respect their loyalty. No, but those guys are great guys. Those guys are very athletic. You know, some of the best shooters that I probably played against is on the other team. But, you know, you're with the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
Hard to beat, you know.
Exactly. It's hard to beat. And so what's obviously a shelf life for the Harlem Globetrotters. Does this take you beyond – what do you do beyond the Globetrotters when that time comes?
Absolutely. Like I said, we have a great roster full of, you know, just young talent, you know, who does various things in their own. We all have a degree. So, you know, I love working with kids. You know, I still want to stay in the game, whether it's coaching and things of that nature. So I think that's what it's going to take me at. You know, right now I'm still in the organization as a player, but I also do scouting for the organization. When I'm home, I do camps and things of that nature. I work kids out. So my passion is with the game of basketball. I've been playing since I was 2 weeks old. So it's hard for me to lead a game.
Two weeks old. He came out of the womb with the ball. Yeah.
Just threw the legs around the bag, just shooting hoops.
Right. Mine's definitely, like he said, everything is basketball oriented for me. I've been playing since I was 10 years old. And every time I try to deviate from basketball, something always brings me back. So actually, one year I was going to do business-to-business sales before all this happened. And I was like, wait, this is totally not my personality. Like, I don't want to sell things to people, you know? So I ended up coaching and teaching the year actually before I became a Harlem Globetrotter. And I was, you know, it's similar because we're, you know, hanging out with the youth and making an impact in their lives. So I would definitely think back, like you said, coaching for sure, something basketball oriented, or, you know, I do basketball training in the off season. So where I'm just practicing with kids and teaching them skills and trying to get them scholarships to go to college.
Is it all you thought it would be, being a Globetrotter? Or more?
It's more, because I didn't know what to expect coming in. You know, I never think that I'll be the 76th country. I never thought I'd be in Australia. I never thought I'd be the type of the Eiffel Tower. I never thought I'd be in Rome, looking at the Colosseum, at the Great Wall of China, you know, things of that. So it definitely is more than I ever expected, you know, and it's by far one of my greatest basketball experiences. You know, I could generally say that. You know, we come along, great teammates, Sweet Jay. You meet great people along the way as well.
Right. Totally. Same thing. I grew up as an only child, so now I have all these brothers around me. I've never felt so protected in my life. So, like, a guy walk up to me just saying hello, and they're like, who's that? What did he say to you? He's got to get out of here, you know, type thing. And I'm like, oh, gosh. But no, they're all cool. So one day, hopefully, when I get married, they'll all be in there. And, you know, I've got made very, very good, you know, connections and networks with them.
Any chance of any romance within
your team?
You've got
on the team. No, that's incest. They're my brothers.
That's incest.
Yeah. No, totally. So, you know, I'm still searching for all those listening. I don't know how good my voice sounds right now, but, you know,
just
come
like
out to the game.
Again.
You know, hang out, have a great time. You know, bring your kids if you have them, and bring your mates. Your mates. That's
your
better.
Really good looking mates. Bring them along. That's what we're after. Well, it's a chance to see the team in June. 20th of June is when they're back in town for the full tour in Melbourne. Starts on the 20th of June. You get your tickets through tickettech.com.au, and if what you're seeing on court is half the energy you're getting in the studio, then you'll have one hell of a time. Slick Willie Shawk, thank you for coming in, pal.
Thank you. The game lasts four corners, but the memories last a lifetime, guys. Don't miss it.
Sweet Jay, you're a star. Good luck with finding that man.
Oh, thank you.
4:12 on Casual Friday. Great to have the team with us, Richo and Rita, and really good fun, the Globetrotters. To be fair, I hadn't thought about the Globetrotters for quite some time. But they're back in town.
They are a brand. You summed it up.
Yeah, they are. They're a goodwill brand.
They're like the WWE of the basketball world, aren't they?
So in 2 weeks, you've met the Globetrotters and Hollywood
and Hulk
Hogan.
It's been a big couple of weeks for you, Princess.
I can hardly contain myself. Can't you see? Can't you just feel the excitement?
I can see.
And the chemistry
emanating from me.
Between Slick Willie and you.
What about that?
There was interest. It was.
Did you notice the chairs just sort of started to roll closer together as the interview went on?
Slightly awkward. I was going to excuse myself, just leave, because I felt like I was intruding. I felt like a voyeur.
A voyeur. Well, you're very good
poor
voyeur.
Slick might actually be married, so we should just be careful what we say.
Oh, yeah,
well, then you shouldn't have been flirting like you were then.
Hey, Slick, if you're listening, brother.
Hey, I'm no homewrecker.
And I was enjoying...
I'm just saying, possibly. If Slick...
What I also enjoy is when my two extraordinarily soulful white people look at you two.
I'm not white. I'm caramel. I'm delicious.
When
she's a bit more caramel than
when
me.
We have any African American athlete.
Sister.
You are just sistered up. You're brother. You're down.
You got to get down with...
You've got to
down.
Keep it real.
Get down in the
that's
hood,
what
you've
got to do.
I'm going to pop a cap. For I'm going to pop a cap at one stage. Just to get involved, you know?
See,
Harlem's not exactly Paris.
I travelled at one
prices
stage...
Prices are similar for real estate, though. You should have a
right?
look. It is.
I travelled overseas to and spent a lot of time in America back in the old ATS days and did it with an Aboriginal guy who, whenever he'd arrive there... would start talking like a brother. And I said, mate, you have a major asset, and that is your accent. Don't
go change over there.
So there's 250 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Million. Just keep using the beautiful Aussie. And he went, oh, really?
Yeah.
Then.
That's a number.
They were lining up after that.
Yeah. Hey,
Nicole.
Wow.
They do, the Yanks do love our accent, don't they? They can't figure out what it is. I think it's British. They don't think
or even
it's...
worse is when you're there and they say, are you in New Zealand?
New Zealand? Yeah, I hate that.
Well, no, I appreciate
that.
There's
3 million people
exactly.
in New Zealand.
Well, it's like when we try to say, you know, guess and say they're Canadians when they're Yanks. It happens.
I'm getting better at the Canadian.
Yeah, and I am too.
Yeah.
And Nicole's in Temple Station. She's giving us a call on the open line, 9429-1116 on
KJ Friday. Is she calling Bulldust?
Oh, this hour for the New Mexican Chicken Sub from Subway. No, Bulldust shortly. We'll get to
good.
That. Hello, Nicole.
I'm ready.
Hi, Half. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
That's good. Just want to highly recommend the Harlem Globetrotters. 30 years ago, so when the first girl was in the team, I was lucky enough to be in a group called the Whiz Kids, and we did halftime entertainment for them for every game that they were in Melbourne.
Did you really?
Yeah, got to meet them, and really lovely people. Obviously, 30 years ago, it's probably a whole different team.
Yeah, very different
you'd
too.
Hope so.
If they're doing 360s and they're 65, that'd be very, very impressive. No,
and
they
I can
are.
I can tell you now, I'm not doing the same stuff either.
No, fair point too. Now they are terrific characters, and they, as we talked about during the interview, they are
it's
tremendous ambassadors.
Fun. You can
for
take
good
the kids
fun.
Along.
Yep.
Have a nice night. The kidlets would like it.
Why have we dropped down an octane?
It's fun. It's getting people together. It's great goodwill. It's humour. And they are
humor.
Good. And great energy. I mean, just talking to those two there. I mean, gee whiz. You couldn't help but get yourself bouncing off the wall.
Yeah, you're up and about.
Well, you had to be just to stay with them.
I just want to start spinning a ball.
Well,
I won't lie to you. I was a little flat when Slick
no
Willie
trickster.
Walked out with that ball.
Yeah.
Was it just?
I was thinking that myself.
Oh, he's got this magnificent Harlem Globetrotters ball.
Beautiful,
and
yeah, that ball's lovely.
He had it in his hand. I'm thinking, wowee, half or half. I had a
well,
limit.
Well, they came in with a jersey, which went to half. So it was between me and you who was going to get
the
ball.
No, I'd eliminated you for anything.
No,
it was just half an eye.
Well, you don't love you some basketball.
You don't love you some hoops.
Hey, I used to be part of the North Melbourne Giants cheer squad. That's the level of involvement.
Hang on. Are we saying Carlton
like
Bluebird style?
No. Not getting my gear off with the bonbons. No.
Are you sure?
It's part of the committed fan base
that
sat behind the baskets and just went nuts.
Oh, you're in the cheer squad.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Like Joffa. You're a basketball Joffa.
Joffa.
You're the North Melbourne Giants Joffa.
Hey?
You're the North Melbourne
You're
Giants
basketball's Joffa.
No, the North
Good
Melbourne Giants cheer squad were young, hip, cool. It wasn't like Collingwood cheer squad, please. Let's not.
You are.
You've just gone up in my estimation.
Okay.
You've gone up.
I will get up and walk out, okay? I will cop a lot of stuff, but I won't cop that.
What, female Joffa?
You've gone up in my estimation. That's very impressive.
I was there every week. Like, basketball in this country, as you guys would know, was massive until they screwed it up monumentally by just doing everything wrong.
Getting rid of
starting by merging teams. Like, why would you merge the Giants and the Magic?
Hey, this is all good in theory. But what we would like to know, female Joffa, is... Female Joffa, we'd love to know some of their chants.
I will hurt you.
We would like to...
Break.
Were you...
That is a problem.
Giants! Giants!
Yeah, I think there was a bit of that.
Okay, what else did you have?
Oh, God, we're going back a long time.
So who was your man? Who was your favourite then, just by the way?
Oh, Scott Fisher was one of my favourites. Scotty Fisher. He went off to the Perth Wildcats, which hurt me enormously.
Fisher.
No, we didn't do that. It was all about the team.
Tim Dillon? No, did you get on the Tim Dillon?
No.
A good mustache, the big name.
Did Joffre ever ring you and say, try this one out?
Let's just go to cool dust because I will not put up with this for another second.
I do love that part. 23-1. Time to call some bull dust on Casual Friday. It's been a busy week. There's been plenty of bull dust that could have been called across the journey. We encourage you to do so on the open line
9429-1116.
What are you saying?
There is no support in this studio. Anytime I reveal a little bit about myself, I get attacked.
What did I say?
Well, you've joined
I said,
in.
You've gone up in my estimations. That's
but
what
then
I
you
said.
Called me a female Joffre.
No, I didn't. He didn't. I laughed really heartily.
Yes. Are you encouraging different. Our listeners to join in?
It was,
they are.
It was I don't funny. Know. I don't know if they've joined in. I mean, I'll just give you a quick snapshot. Anonymous says Joffet. Another one says, let's go Giants. Let's go. Mozza says, was Barb from Carlton Cheer Squad Reader's idol?
Barb's a lovely lady, Mozza.
Another anonymous says, please, please, more Giants memories from FJ, being female Joffre. Please.
Oh, I won't be known as FJ.
Adam says, Rita, please bring your gold jacket in next week. Anonymous says,
block all of them. I think that's
and then Egg has decided to call you Foffa.
This is why I don't reveal tidbits about myself. Because anytime I do, I just get attacked.
Well, I think it's brilliant. You got involved like you did. Emotional attachment to a
club.
So
did you have a duffel coat with like Scott 42 Fisher on the back?
I will genuinely hurt you. I will genuinely cause you physical damage if you keep going.
Mark Leader, was he one of your favourites? Mark Leader?
What was another guy? Tony Ronaldson, wasn't he, from that era too?
He was a Giant.
Is he a Giant?
He was a Spectres. Speaker?
Chris Anstey, was he a Giant?
Oh, no, that was way after.
He was Paul Maley with the mailman.
Paul Maley, well done.
We had Wayne Paul Carroll. 32 Maley on your back.
Was there a Hillman?
Wayne Carroll.
Oh, did you have Wayne Carroll? Now a horse, a horse trainer? No, that's the former Wayne Carroll from the Sydney Swans.
Is he?
A horse trainer from Wagga Wagga now.
Wayne Carroll Mustache.
Oh, yes. Were you Wayne Mustache?
I was there in the original Exum days.
Cecil!
Cecil! He was
Cecil.
A giant.
Cecil!
That never happened. So, you know, the golden days.
They were great days.
People
they were.
Within football used to go to NBL games and say, gee, they do pre-game entertainment so well. We've got a lot to learn from this mob. Dude. And look
you.
At it now.
And that was you.
I was a major part of that.
Yeah, were you sending out newsletters? What we're going to do this week is we're going to go hard with our Cecil. I reckon we underdid it last week. Is that what you're thinking?
Let's get to our bull dust calls, 9429-1116. Lloyd in Glen Iris is first up. G'day, Lloyd.
G'day. Hi, Princess and Subjects.
Lloyd.
I've gone to book Village Gold Class for Mother's Day, which is bulltish in itself. And they want $5 for me to book online rather than going in there and wasting their time. $5 a ticket.
What?
Now, I think that is standard. That rings a bell for me too. I reckon I've been down that road.
To book tickets online?
That road, Lloyd. Yeah.
It costs you more to book tickets online than rock up
I reckon
to the
I reckon that's right. Because that secures you a long way out. Isn't that right, Lloydy?
Not really. You go in and do it yourself anyway.
But it secures you a spot, though. Well, it secures you against arriving there 20 minutes beforehand and they say, we're already sold out.
Sold out!
But it just doesn't make sense. Why not?
You're doing all the work. You're the one who's actually guaranteeing them an income. You know, whether you turn up or not, they've got that money.
Seems to be the way of the world this stage. The internet booking is costing
them
a fee.
Because they can get away with it. That's why. Once the ACCC comes down and says, you know, that's an outrageous fee for, you know, what is the customer booking their own tickets and printing their own ticket, then they'll stop. What does the ACCC do anyway? Seriously, what is the point?
You're going to have to ask somebody else. Are they in the back part of the paper or the front part of the paper?
They're sort of in the front middle section of the paper.
So it's not the back, is that what you're saying?
No, it's not right. The sports
Who
section.
Are they? Is effectively my question to you. Thank you, Lloyd.
Ask him about Bruce Bolden and Dean Utoff and that sort of
stuff.
Dean Utoff. That's a blast from the past. It was
Ray Borner.
Look at her eyes light up when I said Dean Utoff.
Did you?
Did you?
What? 12, you sickos.
I didn't say then.
That's the way your eyes lit up.
Say then.
What is going on? Lord, it's down the line. I can ease your pain. The Elmore Oil Muscle Ache Cream from Elmore Oil is brilliant, and the arthritis relief as well. That's going to be pain-easing stuff. We'll give you that. Thank you.
Do you know Scotty Fisher?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know him.
He went, didn't he get Clint Eastwood's wife?
Yes. Yes.
What?
Shacked up with Clint Eastwood's
True.
Wife.
Man's got to know his limitations, Scotty.
No. He stole her clean from him.
Really?
He's like, no that is some game.
No wonder he didn't have a sideward glance at you.
Get off my lawn. I mean, That is.
That's courageous.
So he went to Perth.
That must be true.
Then
love.
He coached in Perth.
Then I think went to UCLA or something. And then that's he was right. in California somewhere.
So that's where he's
I kind
up
of
with,
followed his
but,
career.
But I haven't stalked him much.
I haven't stalked him. I wouldn't call it stalking. I've just kept a keen interest.
Where did he find Mrs. E?
In California.
Wow.
And I don't know, Clint was off making a film and he swooped in.
And she kicked Clint. She's to the curb for Scotty Too Hotty
Fisher.
That's
how I understand it. That's
good
how
cannons. Always had good cannons, Scotty.
And shoulders broad.
Good you know, he like Gazy went grey very early. Did Nothing you notice he it. Was one of those? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It was just, you know, it was unusual.
It's unusual. Right. Thank you, Lloyd. Nick's in East Malvern. Hello, Nick.
G'day, Half Richo and the lovely Rita. Actually, boys, before I call bullshit, given
Bull dust, please. Kids are listening.
Sorry. Yes. Given Rita was about an hour late last week, did you guys supervise a 6 a.m. swim for her during the week?
Yes.
Late for a team meeting?
Yeah, she jumped off the pier.
I hope it wasn't
in my fun. Credit, I was at the Sports Without Borders annual conference just giving.
How does that help us?
Doesn't help us.
It helps the community.
How does that help us being the team?
The sporting.
That's why we made you do hill sprints Tuesday right. morning, jumped into the ocean, push-ups. Yep. All that was
Correct.
Because you turned up late.
Correct.
I've learnt my lesson.
I know.
I will no longer help the community. They can get stuffed. I'll be here.
Back Correct. To you, Nick.
Yeah, look, so I called Bulldust on the literary skills exhibited or lack thereof during the week of AFL media people and players. I've got two verbal examples. Our great friend, the People's Hamstring, they did a cross to him and said that one team had come up trumpets.
It's a half-brother for Trumps.
Instead of Trumps. Another player quoted, they said the player behaviour, they looked at the issue and nipped things in the butt.
Yep,
that's
yeah,
true.
It was important to nip it in the butt, absolutely.
In the butt?
Yeah, the
and
butt's
then
good.
The written one, Jay Clark was talking about the Hurley family and that one of the brothers had hair down to his waist, spelt in Sunday's Herald Sun, W-A-S-T-E. So,
the Herald Sun, they make a lot of errors these days.
Hey. No, that would have been a clever play on words.
That would have been a deliberate sort of a pun. Just another error.
I refuse to believe our sports section will make a spelling error.
Just straight out stuffed it.
Right, Nick's really paying attention, so you two better be careful this afternoon. He's paying a lot of attention to what you say. Really.
Well, you know English is a second language. I stuff up weekly. We'd be very busy if we were picking out my errors.
Dylan is with us. G'day, Dylan.
G'day, Half. How you doing, mate?
Is this Dylan Olcott?
It is. How are you?
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm well. What's going on?
Well, busy, mate. Busy.
Are you Errol's son?
No, Dylan.
Nephew, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, how you doing, mate? Half, I've got to call Bulldust on you. I've just got back from a trip overseas playing tennis. And I don't know what's happened to Freddie Mercury and Queen every time the show starts.
Yeah, you know what? I'm with you, Dylan. That is synonymous with halftime.
I know.
Are you telling me, Mr. Olcott, that you're not getting down and jiggy with our boys at Boom Crash Opera?
It's not 1982.
Excuse me, your name's not Mr. Olcott.
Well,
Queen is timeless.
Queen's 1974.
I know, but it's timeless.
Oh,
it's a classic.
Dylan,
Boom Crash Opera, Australian sort of pub band. Come on.
I got back off the plane and I got, you know, listening to SCA and I heard that garbage and I was
Dylan, we call it garbage.
We really respect your opinion here.
Absolutely.
And Half's got to take that on board.
Yeah, taken, noted.
And considering the untimely death of Errol Brown overnight, can I suggest you change your tune to this.
Oh, hello. I
believe in miracles. Everyone's a winner. Where are you from, you sexy thing?
I can just see
you
starting
your
show. Mate, we should play hot chocolate all
day
today.
I'm okay with hot chocolate tribute today.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Dylan, would you prefer hot chocolate?
Yeah, hot chocolate, anything but at the moment, mate.
Well, I'm going to have to tell you to get stuffed. Love Boom Crash Opera. They're my boys. Dara Ryder is the number one man in town. But you're welcome to come back in and challenge me one day at SEN.
Without a doubt, half. Speak soon.
Good on you, buddy. Stay
Good
well.
On you, bro.
Now, I need to call some bulldust. I know we've got a board full of calls, but I need to get involved here.
Okay,
call
get involved after the break. 14 to 1.
Issue that I'm passionate about.
We will get to a break and hear from you. We've got lots of other calls want to have their say on the bulldust line this afternoon. They will get their go first, and we'll just leave you hanging. We'll tease, like radio teasing it's called. We'll tease
that
the audience.
Do you know that the hot chocolate have history, that they had a song in the charts every year from 1970 all the way through to 1984?
Are you reading that straight from the Herald Sun?
Yeah, 14
well,
years in a row.
It,
just check
it.
Just check the spelling there. 13 to 1.
Oh.
It's hot chocolate reminiscing all day.
You dance
all
day. Like a dad. Never mind the dad body. You dance like a dad.
That is the biggest slap across your chops
we
you've ever caught.
I wasn't aware that we were actually on the set
but
and
I'm
just making
you.
Moves
there,
happen. On.
She's right, though. There is dad dancing. On the same as there's mum dancing.
The circuit bar.
Yeah.
Wasn't just waiting for the fishbowl at the circuit bar. Just on
you
the
did
podium.
Dad dance. You dad dance.
I am the one of the great dad dancers. I'm also one of the great scorchers of a floor.
Oh, well.
Don't want to say too much.
Look at that.
Chris in Furtry Gully wants to call Bulldust. Hello, Chris.
Hey, I thought I was.
No, I said teasing.
G'day, boys.
Hey,
how are you
Chris.
Going? Now, listen, before I call Bulldust, FJ, if you go hard on Boom Crash Opera again, I'll be calling Bulldust on you.
Yeah, good, yes, Chris. Good. FJ. Yeah. Good stuff, Chris.
Good, honest pub band. That's all they were.
Oh, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
That's it.
She's
they
out.
Weren't
Queen. How do we define good, honest pub band?
Boom Crash Opera. No. That's the picture.
What,
the
is
dictionary.
There anything above Captain Spaulding?
I don't know. Chris, over to you, mate.
Very good. Now, I just want to... everybody's saying how good the draw is this year, and I agree to some extent, because, listen, the Doggies, the Mighty Dogs, right, are up and about, but they're playing... heaps of the top eight from last year in the first six or seven rounds. And we're absolutely getting smashed. We're so knackered.
But do you know you don't play Sydney or Hawthorne again for the rest of the year?
I know, which is really cool. But these Dirty Dog Carlton are playing like 27 bloody home games on a Friday night. It's not fair, mate. I don't want to watch footy on Friday night now.
Well, that's not the quality of the draw. That's just the scheduling of the fixture, the timing of the fixture. That's a different discussion, Chrissy.
Yeah, it's still about the draw, though. They still draw them for Friday night.
You've got the Giants twice, the Saints twice, Demons twice, Brisbane and the Gold Coast. You're going all right. I'd enjoy the ride if I was a Doggies.
I'm enjoying the ride very much. Thank you very
just
much.
Just to sit back and say, righto, boys, over to you. Thank you, Chris. Timing, scheduling, Friday night footy seems to be your issue as opposed to the draw itself, the fixture, as it is these days. Justin is in Furtry Gully. G'day, Justin.
G'day, gang. I call Bulldust on the Justin Lepich, Zach O'Brien fiasco.
Explain.
If this is the calibre of news reporting we are going to get in the wake of the
Asada resolution... Don't shoot the messenger.
Hang on, what's it got to do with the reporting?
Yeah.
Then... I don't think it was worth reporting.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. It's worth reporting every day of the week. I mean, for God's sakes, if it gets out of the club that a player grabbed,
I had to apologise. That was the issue. The grabbing bit's nothing, but they saw it upon themselves to be such a big deal that Justin Lepich apologised to the whole group.
But
the player apologised
as
well.
Came
that's
out,
a story.
The fact that story came out tells you things aren't right at that club because that should have never got out, should it? I mean, someone has called someone in the media and said, this has happened. And if the players and
or
the coach
told
were
the
tight...
housemate and the housemate told a mate and the mate told somebody else, their best friend
well, then
at work
you don't.
Then...
You don't, because you know how things work.
You
so you don't tell your housemate that, you know...
Yeah, you don't, mate.
Well, you don't.
Don't talk to your mates. So you can't
what
have a bet.
Happens in the
you
club
can't
room
have a drink.
Stays
you can't talk to your mates now. Is that what
no,
you're saying?
You
is that what you're
to
saying?
Your mates, that's it. Hey, not 6 days before a game.
Hey, and you guys were like, you're like a fortress at the Giants, North Melbourne Giants.
Oh,
you're
yeah,
like
we
a
were.
Fortress.
It's like Fort Knox.
Yeah, it was. You know, nothing left to cheer squad.
They told you nothing, FJ. No. Nothing.
That's it.
Thank you, Justin. Had your say. The footy cards from Select Collector Cards coming your way. The hams from Pataki. The rounds of golf at Keysborough and the Comics Lounge goal passes as well. Stay on the line. Give us a call back. Whatever applies. David Melton, g'day.
G'day, people. How are we?
Good.
I call Bulldust on the Players Association. They want us to pay more money or the AFL to pay more money or to players. Like Cashbolt, who can't kick to save his life. What is this, Bushweek or something?
I'm not sure they're asking you
what
to pay
is
more.
This
there will be
more.
Well, ultimately, the fans will pay. Whether it's the.
But there'll be money in the game.
Yeah, but where do you think that money comes percentage. From? Do you think it's just, you know.
But they're not asking
appears on trees.
They're not saying that the fans are going to pay for this.
There
will be more money in the game.
Ultimately pay. Whether it's from the broadcasting rights, which will be passed on to the fans via, you know, subscription fees to Foxtel.
You don't have to subscribe.
It is all.
You don't
the
have
fans.
To buy the ads, the products.
The money that went in your pockets, your deep pockets,
there is money in the
came
game.
From the fans, the long suffering fans that you gave nothing to at Carlton. Let's not forget that year. Remember when he left Hawthorn?
Hey, we finished 10th.
Yeah,
we did a good job.
He was serviceable for us.
Considering the
best number two
players.
After
Do you know the amount
Dominic
of money he was
Frosier.
On there? You were sort of on Cuda levels.
I'll tell you how much I earned that year. You earned $96,000 that year.
Jeez, you've got a pay cut to come here.
Massive pay cut. $96,000 that year, I can tell you.
Really? But how much did you earn in brown paper bags?
Sort of set up.
3.2.
That's where he got the house.
Never past one on a Friday afternoon. You know what that means? There's only a couple of hours to go before you can say, I'm out of here. I've had a gut full. I've got a couple of days to myself. I'm going to enjoy what's going to be a huge sporting weekend. So much going on. And you get a chance to listen to it all unfold and be across it all on Melbourne's Home of Sport across the weekend, 11:16 SEN. Big, big day still to come. We've got footy fix from 4 to 6, from 4 o'clock clearly, with Tontals, Turfy and the Oxen build up to the coach's box. Tonight on SEN, Alan Richardson from the Saints will be the special guest with Hutto, Derm, Moons and Rowan Connolly in the build-up to Friday Night Footy, Collingwood and Geelong, of course, at the mighty MCG to kickstart your big footy weekend. All the updates from the A-League semi-final, the Melbourne Victory taking on Melbourne City, Etihad Stadium, what's going to be 50,000 plus at Etihad. Across the road from the MCG, the Melbourne Rebels are on against the Auckland Blues. In fact, Sean Maloney just texted me from Fox Sports. He said, I'm in town. I'm going to pop in. So we might even see Big Shawnee before the day's out here on halftime. So I'm happy about that. Lots to look forward to there. Tomo's with us after 3 o'clock in the Friday footy preview. It's great to have Richo and Rita with us until 2.
How good was Sunday watching Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather?
Didn't watch it.
You had to work?
No. Just did stuff.
So that didn't inspire you? I know that the bout was garbage. Mm. And in the end, we're all disappointed. But I went to a local pub. And it was packed, and they were all there. And as soon as the decision was made, it totally vacated
straight away. So the only thing that got them there,
only thing that got them there, was the bout. And I looked around like it was one of those ones where you're that crowded, you're just trying to see gaps between bloke's shoulders and that to see.
Where
it
were
was jam packed at the Rosstown Hotel.
It was packed everywhere. It was massive.
It was
even I was interested. How can you not be interested? Good versus evil.
You've got a scumbag versus a decent dude.
You didn't trust it.
I didn't trust it.
That's interesting.
Well, you know what?
Didn't
you
trust
were
it.
Right. Because people who did watch it.
Well, I did. No, the right decision was made. What, people saying that wrong decision was made?
Yeah.
Nah.
A lot of people are saying the wrong decision was made.
You were just scoring points just willy-nilly just because you had that reach.
Well, we're going to do it all over again in about 12 months'
Which
time.
Which is the whole idea, I think.
Exactly.
Although it's been a bit of feedback today, I think, from Floyd saying that he's a coward and a cheat to Manny, and he may revoke that offer of a rematch.
How is he a coward and a cheat? Because he had a sore shoulder. That makes him
That's all part of the argy and the bargy.
I didn't read. I just saw the headline, man.
I don't know how Floyd's not in jail.
I didn't trust it.
What's that?
I don't know, he's not in jail.
Yeah, well, that's a different issue.
With
but
his
this is
history
part
of domestic violence, I mean, for God's sake, the guy. If anyone deserves to have the bejesus beaten out of him, it's that guy.
Well, a lot of people are hoping for that.
I just don't know if little Manny. The more I watched it, I just thought the gifts of God have given him such an advantage because he just had that reach advantage that little Manny was trying to get in tight and he just kept point, just picking him off. He just.
Well, Sylvester Stallone said Manny was the greatest fighter he's ever seen, ever.
Sore shoulder.
Sylvester Stallone
and
said that.
Of course, who says that? I'm on board.
And anyone who's taken down Big Ivan Drago on the back of Clubber Lang, on the back of Apollo Creed.
Thank you. Don't forget the four or five other ones that
Tommy Gunn, of course, later in his life.
Tommy Gunn in the street.
In the street.
And don't forget, they had to call off the fight between him and Thunderlips, the ultimate male, versus the ultimate meatball, which is our man who we met last week. Hulkster.
I didn't even talk to him about that fight. I would love to have talked about that fight.
I didn't talk to him.
Where it ranked with his career.
Didn't even talk to him enough.
That's true. Well, you're going to find out what's up with Rita very, very shortly. If you want to have a listen and find out more and get yourself involved, 942 911 16 after this. Stop, ball, back it up
now, let me see your hips. If you haven't read her column or her blog, if you haven't seen her on TV and you don't follow her on Twitter, well, now's your chance to find out what's up with Rita.
What's up with Gary Ablett? Just where is he? And what's he doing about the many problems plaguing his club? Gary Lyon last night said that Ablett should resign immediately as captain. And who can argue with that suggestion? Ablett may be one of, if not the best player in the league, but that doesn't make him a great leader. Something the Gold Coast Suns are finally finding out. What's up with all the outrage about SBS series Struggle Street? Is the doco essentially poverty porn? Well, a little. But why shouldn't people of all socioeconomic backgrounds feature on television? Not everyone lives like the Real Housewives of Melbourne, who mix in the same circles as Half and Richo with their exclusive addresses in the leafy inner burbs. It's good to see how strugglers live and the hurdles they face. And frankly, it's fantastic that a program on SBS actually has an audience and rates better than an info commercial. And finally, what's up with Melbourne men's obsession with beards? Beards that we now learn are dirtier than toilet bowls. What? Yes, that's right. According to a group of microbiologists in New Mexico, some beards contain more poo than a toilet bowl. And that rancid bacteria may be putting the bearded men's health at risk. If that's not enough to shock hipster flogs into shaving, then I don't know what is. Join me next week for What's Up with me.
Well, there was the threat of it being all time, and she might have just hit it out.
Get
of
out
the
your
park.
Razors,
we'll
boys.
See. 9429, get him out. 1116, if you want to respond to what's up with you today.
100% agree.
Gary Ablett, so where is he? That was probably the biggest question in the whole thing there. Where is he?
Is he witness protection? Is there some sort of some threat against his life?
Hang on,
is he in
he's
the country?
Injured.
Yeah, being injured doesn't mean you're not present and visible and having an influence on your young teammates. At a time when the club's struggling on and off the field.
Just to play the devil's out, how do you know that he's not?
Well, because the club's telling us.
No, no,
that they're considering.
Well, yeah. How do they know? How do you know? How
well,
do
you know what? I'll
how
give
would
you, I'll
okay,
give, I'll
how
give you
would you
insight.
Describe his leadership
I'll
style?
I'll give you a little insight.
How would you describe his leadership style?
I was talking to a Gold Coast
Before you
Suns
do that,
player.
How would you describe his leadership style?
By example on the field.
Okay, but you know that because you're in the inner sanctum? You know the way he leads?
I know that he was oblivious to the other players' many issues with the former coach. And as captain, he shouldn't have been oblivious.
How do you know that?
Because one of those former players told me. As a captain, you know, the issues they're having off the field just tell you there's a lack of leadership there. And as captain, he's got to bear some responsibility. You know, I understand he's a perfect, you know, for marketing reasons, just, you know, what an amazing player it is, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's a great captain.
And he might be a reluctant captain.
He may be a reluctant captain.
Tim Watson made a very good point this morning on The Glory. It's been part of the promotions on SEN Today for that program, which is a fine program, 6 or 9 weekdays. Hang on a minute, where's this come from? Haven't we been lauding what he's been leading his charges for the last 3 or 4 years up there
but
in the Gold
But isn't that
Coast?
Just part of the, you know, the echo chamber that happens within football circles where...
Can I just say echo chamber again?
Echo chamber.
I think it's the first time I've ever said it on the program. It deserves
well,
another
Well, you do. Well, you know, one person says something and then you all sort of follow suit. There's not, you know, much critical thinking sometimes.
Echo chamber.
I'm concerned though, Harvey.
Yeah, well, I know where you're going with this.
Is this
Can we just hold? Oh, no, let's go with that. Let's go with 9:49, 11:16, by the way, if you want to respond to Rita's What's Up today.
It's
Gary Ablett,
so
Struggle Street and the beard.
Well, I'm concerned about the beard story by you and your outrage in the beard. And
yeah,
the,
it should be gone.
And the research, we've had not one, but we've had 700 text messages come through to say, Rita, we appreciate that you might have read the first article. Did you read 2 days later
There's
where that
a lot of
whole
follow-up going on
study
here.
Was proven to be bogus?
No, no, I don't acknowledge the follow-up.
And a fake.
No,
hang on a minute.
And I don't fake. Acknowledge the follow-up.
You can't
and
just
a fake.
Pick and choose which one you acknowledge.
The initial one made sense to me, and that's the one I'm choosing to run with. Yeah, I did see the follow-up. That
fake.
Doesn't work for me. That really doesn't fit
suit
my
the
arguments.
Agenda.
Right.
So you disregard that.
Okay.
You go with the one that says
go with poo face.
Dudes, start shaving because your face is, and you can imagine how it happens. Like
dudes
are in the toilet,
and
they're sort of wiping and then stroking their beard, stroking the beard.
No,
could happen. It probably happens every day. It's happening right now.
Because you don't like blokes with beards.
Do you like blokes with beards?
No.
Con on the road loves blokes with beards. He's giving us a call, 9429 1116. G'day, Con.
G'day, guys. How are you? My brother has a big, disgusting beard that I'm going to wait till he's asleep, and I'll be going to it with a razor.
Good.
Good on. You know what? That's an act of love, Con. That is an act of love.
But just on the Gary Ablett, I think he's follow me, give me the ball, get out of my way on the field. But off it, I think he's like not maybe out of touch with him a bit because he's on that crazy bollock paleo diet, and he comes across as someone who wouldn't socialise with them outside of.
Well, they do have a prayer group, don't they? Doesn't he lead
six
a prayer group within the club? And there's, what, about half a dozen players who are involved now?
So that's good. That's good.
But that's half a dozen out of a list of how many?
Yeah, I'm sure they talk about other stuff.
Yeah, but there's only six or seven of them in that group. They might talk about all sorts of other stuff, but, you know, it's not inclusive of the wider group of players.
No, but that's what I'm saying. When they're all together as a group, I'm sure that's not the topic of discussion. Oh, by the way, in pre-group this morning, I'm sure that's not the topic of discussion. Yeah. But did you watch the NBA finals last night? Because we know they're all in their sport and international sports. So, I mean, that's just a small part of their world.
So you're saying Gary Lyons is just talking rubbish here with his call that he resign immediately. Which I thought was interesting because I thought, oh, you can wait till the end of the season. But he was saying no now.
No, well,
she's fairly dramatic.
I'm not close enough to the clearly not close enough to the goalkeeper situation to understand the impact he can have. But there seems to have been no discussion about Gary Ablett's leadership up until this.
I think there was internally last year. I think there was internally last year, from what I understand.
What do you mean? What do you understand?
There was issues about his leadership last year.
Who were you talking to?
Former player.
Which one?
I'm not going to say who. There's more than one.
There's not many former players.
Where does he work now? Swimming a channel?
tell me, as I quickly change, will everyone digest that? Sinks in. Now we move on. I can't believe you didn't bring your favourite event of the year up onto What's Up. The
this
Logies.
Weekend? Oh, I thought you meant the Warner sleepover.
You're not getting invited.
No, I could have gone if I wanted to. I didn't want to go. It's boring.
Didn't get invited.
Oh, my God.
Didn't get invited.
No, but I would have had to go on as media, Logies. So you don't get the prime seats,
right,
the back with the riffraff.
Yeah, riffraff.
No thanks.
What about SBS? And it was raised again on the Footy Show last night. I heard a bit of conversation during the week about the SBS winning the best sports coverage.
Was that the most outstanding or most popular?
Sorry, most outstanding sports coverage. But hang on.
That's voted on by people who watch SBS.
Yeah, no, but that's fair enough. But they just took the world feed.
Oh, really?
And added their own, pre and post and during and that sort of stuff.
Oh,
so you can't possibly compare that with a station like Channel 9 doing the cricket and actually having 25 cameras and the complexity of trying to do something like that versus
how ludicrous the Logies are, even the most outstanding categories, which are supposed to be, worthy
that can't
winners.
Be right, can it? Well, taking the world feed and just. And just putting stuff at the start and putting stuff at the end.
How Channel 7's coverage of Bathurst doesn't win that every year is beyond me. It is the single greatest production of Bathurst for the calendar. I'm not a massive motorsport man, but it is the single greatest coverage every single year.
Oh, well, hang on. Last year was won by Melbourne Cup Carnival, which is breathtaking.
Well, I know that you're a very good Channel 7's analyst and form man and employee at times, Richo.
It's breathtaking there.
It is breathtaking, but nothing compares to the Bathurst coverage from a sporting point of view, as far as I'm concerned. Nothing.
It's atmospheric.
Tony's in Frankston. Speaking of SBS, g'day, Tone.
Damn straight.
G'day, Daniel. G'day, Rita and Mr. Value. How are you?
G'day, Tone.
Tones.
Listen, before I talk about, I wanted to talk about Struggle Street first, but I'm thinking if I was the producer of A Current Affair, you could interview that Bruce Jenner and the headline could just read Jenner Tells. But anyway.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it, Richard? But anyway, about Struggle Street, I know I cop a lot of grief because I live in Frankston, but I grew up in Commissioner, very similar to where Struggle Street down in the Victoria, like in Dufton, Endeavour Hills, and good now that I've upgraded to Toorak. I reckon it's good. Like, these people might get their opportunity in life. I mean, life doesn't have to be struggle street every, you know, all the time. That's what I'm
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely.
You know, you can do something with your life. Life doesn't have to be what you've dealt. You can change the course of where you go.
Well, you know what? You are so right. And that's one of the great things about this country. It's one of the very few places in the world where you can be literally, well, not literally, you can be on struggle street. There was almost a misuse of the word literally, which I hate.
I do that.
And you can, you know, achieve anything. You don't need to be coming from money or rich family or anything in this country, which is fantastic. With most parts of the world, that's not the case.
You sound like a bit of a go-getter to me, Tone. And go and get some food from Ribera's Restaurant. $100 voucher coming your way. Sensational seafood sundaes. $99 for a two-person, two-course seafood extravaganza. Complimentary bottle of Clear Valley Riesling. Or Heathcote Shiraz, 480 Victoria Street, North Melbourne. Google Ribera's. The rest is easy. Give us a call back. I think it is required. Maz is in Reservoir. G'day, Maz.
G'day, guys. Hey, Rita, are you rubbishing ZZ Top?
Yep.
I am by extension. I wasn't thinking
you are
of them.
You are.
I wasn't.
You are.
But no, you are. That was sort of a trademark for them. It was sort of a gimmick.
Two best beards God ever put on a man.
Yeah, but like, what sort of filth were they infested with? I mean, think about the women they were with and, you know, what they had to put up with. I mean, think about others. Mazza, it's not all about you. Think about the ladies.
It's about the vibe.
It's about the vibe.
And you know what? Chicks don't like beards. That's why I don't understand why so many blokes have beards. No, all the research says chicks don't like
them. All the research suggests to me at the moment that anyone I see
with
a beard...
Didn't we quote research only 2 weeks ago that said 2 in 3 women...
Didn't you just quote the New Mexico University's bogus study?
Yeah, because it backed up what I was saying. And I chose to go with it.
I know a lot of boys out there with beards at the moment, and they have got some hot little mummers on their arm.
Have they?
Hot mamas. They love the beards, the girls.
Are
the
you
young
talking
girls
about
love the
footballers?
Beards.
Are you talking about footballers?
I'm talking
because
about
footballers can look
young
like
gentlemen.
Anything and
young
get the lovely
gentlemen across
ladies.
Society.
No, they're footballers, aren't they?
No, they're young gentlemen across society.
It's not a fair comparison.
I don't deal with a lot of the footballing population these days, the elite level. I'm a bit old for that.
You're
a bit old for that.
Aren't you at St. Kevin's?
Oh, that's local footy, yeah. It's a bit different.
They're still footballers.
They're actually workers who just play footy on the weekend. They're just normal people.
And
know?
They're playing for a club where, I mean, I've read the Bible a few times. Was there really a saint called Kevin?
26 past one on Casual Friday. A little bit of hot chocolate. Errol Brown passing away yesterday, I think it might have been. And a bit of a tribute on Casual Friday. A bit of Brother Louis there, Richo. One of my favourites.
You've done some research because I did question the team that you coach at the moment if there really was a saint called Kevin. Because
it doesn't sound right.
Well, maybe I'm naive, but when I think of the key saints, I'm thinking about the blokes that are, you know, walking along and rocking it with Jesus.
Well, I think there's level. I think
there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Thomas. They're the sort of setup that I'm talking about. Well, I don't remember Jesus.
More high profile.
I remember Jesus saying, by the way, pass me the bread, Kevin.
My understanding was that our man Kev, as we like to call Halftime Zone, Kev, was in fact the guy who passed the butter.
Right.
to your man Jesus.
Right.
At that sub, that very famous supper.
Famous supper.
Very famous.
There was 12.
Dinner instead.
Well, there was 12 there because he had to go. There was
Kevin was the butter dealer. He goes walking around, who needs butter? Who needs butter?
He got a sainthood for butter. Well, that sums up your footy team in finals.
Are they struggling?
I've actually just had a look at who he was.
No, not this year. They're flying.
Blind. According to the website I'm on, and I don't know how detailed this forensic analysis has been. But according to this website, Kevin, Halftime Zone, Kev, was lived to 120.
Oh, well,
so he's made up.
It's just a figment of someone's imagination.
So he's made up.
No, this is very detailed.
What century did he live to 120?
498 he was born and died in 1680.
So when people died at like the age of 30, 490. He lived to 120.
This is why he was Kev. He was the butter passer 500 years before with Jesus. That's how good he was. He came back.
And this is the school you're going to be sending your son to. I mean, really.
Named after a made-up Kevin.
He's a very impressive man.
Someone suggested, that he was, he's the younger brother of St. Keith.
Of course, that was the forerunner for the great Kevin Bartlett, of course. He was named after St. Kevin.
Apparently, he was on the backbench of the Jesus party.
And KB's actually got him covered. He's now 140 KB, so he's got him covered.
With a made-up 120, he lived. Come
Look, mate. It's a very flimsy web page I'm on. It doesn't look too detailed.
I feel like we've scratched the surface of your future school, and I'm concerned about whether it'll provide the, A, the spiritual guiding and the intestinal fortitude to guide young Wilbur Harford.
No, William deserves better than this.
He's got me guide him spiritually. I'll guide him through.
Really? Well, fair enough. I'll default to you ahead of St. Kev.
I'll clear that path for him. I'll guide him through that forest. God. Enzo's in Narre Warren. Wants to get involved in the shenanigans on a Friday afternoon. Hello, Enzo.
Hey, boys. How are you? And Rita.
How you doing?
Oh, well.
Good, good. Hey, what were Colin and Barry doing? Filling the esky.
Saint Colin.
And Barry.
You know what? If you're going to have a Saint Kevin, you might as well have a Saint Barry.
I'm going to look. Add a Bruce in there. I'm going to have a look.
Well, I'm very reluctant to announce that my father went to a Catholic boys' school in Hobart called St. Virgil's.
Virgil!
What? Now, whether...
Of Thunderbird's fame.
If Kevin was passing the butter, what was Virgil doing to be able to become a saint?
I would offer money to somebody to name their kid Virgil.
Well, Jack Hale, the fastest 16-year-old on the planet, is a St. Virgil's boy. So he's been running despite carrying that heavy tag of being a St. Virgil. That's... What is a St. Virgil? Are they a Virgilian?
Virgilites. I don't know. But St. Barry. Barry. I've just had a look at Barry.
There's not a St. Barry.
My word, there is.
I'll get stuffed.
He's an Irish monk, the first bishop of Cork. Oh, and he died after having been bishop for 17 years. There you go. Bit of feedback on Baz.
What did Virgil
do? Did he live to 140, did he?
Hang on a second. Buddy, you got the wee page open.
What did Virgil do?
I'll find out in a second.
Become a saint.
St. Virgil. That's terrific Virgil. Stuff.
He lived being called Virgil.
He was a brother of Kevin.
It's a horrible thing to do to a child, call him Virgil. Why would you do that?
Great feedback off the SMS. There's no way that Kevin was passing the butter. Every other Kevin that we know would have run to 50 and kicked it.
Very nice.
Nice work off the SMS.
Oh, that's very good.
Brendan's in Horsham. G'day, Brendo.
G'day, boys and princess.
How you doing?
Talk, Bren.
Yeah, sorry. In the early 80s, I was down at uni and played footy with Wayne Carroll's two brothers.
Who was that?
Wayne Carroll from North Giants.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
And it was really funny because the father evidently was far happier that the two boys were playing football in the ammo than the son who was playing for Giants Australia and going to the Olympics. It was a strange basketball game. Anyway, I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, you broke it up a bit, Brent. I think we might have missed a fair bit of that. Yeah. Unfortunately, apologies for that. We just didn't quite get the most of that story, which was a bit of a setback for that. Yeah. I imagine if it was funny, we liked those ones.
Brody Holland apparently is a St. Virginian.
Virginian?
You can't have an L.
Someone went to
throw out
St.
The
Virgil's. Can't be a St. Virginian.
Well, Virgil became a monk of the island abbey of Lerins, Saint-Honorat, near Cannes in France. It's related that one night, Virgil's walking along the shore. He spotted a mysterious ship moored along the beach with its sailors manning the deck. Two disembarked and approached him, saying, Reverend Father, we know who you are and greatly esteem your incomparable virtue. And we're now bound by Jerusalem. Come therefore with us, and your name will be praised by all men. And therefore, Virgil became a star.
That just sounds like crazy. Is that? What?
I don't know. I'm just looking up websites.
People have died fighting for that.
For Virgil.
For Virgil. Imagine dying, laying down your life for Virgil.
My dad would have just proudly put on his blazer every day heading off to a school that's a complete fraud.
Doesn't matter. It's what he believes that got him through.
What?
John's in Richmond. G'day, John.
Hi, guys. Yeah, it'd be a great name, Virgil. Probably after the character in Usual Suspects, Virgil Gibbs, the man with the plan.
The man with the plan, yes.
Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, well, I think Virgil, the saint, was named before Usual Suspects came out. But you may be onto something. You may be onto something, Richo.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, John, for your call. 27-2. We'll get to a break after that. Plenty more coming up, including some feedback. It was around the last 24 hours or so, Richo. We'll address that.
You know what? I'm going to legal it first.
Well, let's legal it. And then
because you were defamed. It is what it is. I stand with half.
Stick around. 22-2 on halftime. Casual Friday. Richo and Rita are with us. And after 2 o'clock, Sports Central Plus, all the latest in the world of sport. Matt Russell from Fox Sports for the NRL. Adam Peacock for the A-League. Of course, semi-final tonight, the Victory v City is going to be huge at Etihad Stadium, as there will be another sporting performance at Amy Park, where the mighty Melbourne Rebels will be taking on the Auckland Blues. Now, part of that coverage on Fox Sports is our man,
please. Well, not part.
Well, the main. Sorry. My apologies. He's with us in studio. He's popped in to say good day. Good day, Shawnee.
Half wonderful to be here.
Shawnee's terrific.
Before I come back next time, sort out Swan Street for me, would you?
It's a debacle.
I've been on there for half an hour. Well,
that's why you come on the M3 or whatever it's called. Monash, is that it?
Yeah, no, there's a crash on the Monash, I've been told.
Oh, no.
You don't ever go the Swan Street. It's a disaster.
I've run 100 metres. I'm sweating up.
Bridge Road, man. Bridge Road.
Sugar.
Bridge Road and come back down Stall Street.
Cut back in.
That's it.
You just breathe there for a second.
Sure.
You just breathe. You just feel the flow.
Plus, I'm in the company of three of Melbourne's greatest sporting media identities, which also takes my breath away.
Are you cut up about the back page of the leading paper?
Well,
in the
I wasn't
until I pointed
wasn't
out.
Until you put it on my nose.
Turf wars.
It says AFL up against the A-League tonight, and I tell you what, why not get behind the Melbourne Rebels, Daniel Harford? As I know you've been a long time
supporter
of the Rebels. They are chasing their most winning record season ever since their inception.
Still
in 2011.
Still a chance of finals.
They are. There's still a massive chance of finals, and tonight they're up against the Blues at Amy Park.
Who have won 2 from 11. We'll smack them.
They're not travelling so well. No, the we'll Rebels, on the flip side, going beautifully.
Yeah.
No, so you're saying forget about Etihad, forget about the G, turn up to Amy Park. Or what about the Backstreet Boys at Broadlabor Arena? Because that's also on tonight.
That's a
it's
good
all happening.
Gee, where would I go? If
well,
I
what about the Palais where Chris Cross is going to make you jump?
Chris Cross? Are you for real? They're
is
back.
Chris Cross supporting the Backstreet Boys?
Oh, that would
I would
be
definitely
excellent.
Go if that was
Chris
happening.
I would have called in sick if Chris Cross were back.
Me too.
Because the Mac Daddy.
Now, before we get to you, Shawnee,
Jump in.
But what I would love is your great eyes and ears as international, not just national sporting identity. Yeah. Because we here are all about team. We're all about character.
It's a family.
We are a family.
It is a family.
And when we hear one of our own, not just our own, but our leader, our spiritual leader and our figurehead.
Leads with
Captain.
Fist.
Yeah, that's right. Leads with Fist as his name. When I hear him
besmirched,
defamed. Well, you be the judge. Now, let me set the scene. This is Fox Sports, Fox Footy. Ben Dixon.
So this is national television.
Ben Dixon, 42 games of just right arm over the wicket. In a pretty average.
He was basically in the team
pretty
for his looks.
For his looks.
Let's not beat
That's
around
rough.
The bush.
Just pretty.
He was a pretty boy.
Average setup.
Bit what? Of a bitto.
Just a bit
yeah,
player.
That's it.
Just a
Benny
bit
Dixon,
player.
I'm going to Google him right now because I'm from Sydney.
Still a pretty
continue.
Boy. Well, still a pretty boy.
It'd be like, in your terminology, someone sitting on the bench in the Wallabies questioning David Campese.
Okay.
And that's the analogy with Dixon to Hufford.
Can we go to the audio? Because I'm going to get just outraged
well,
when I hear this again.
Well, this is what Benedict Dixon did say about the big shorts. Have a listen.
But the best one's Daniel Hufford. He walked out of Waverley Park and he got character assassinated by Chudgy and brought to tears. Grown man just...
The big strides teared up.
Oh, yeah, great. And he was the best edit judge. He put blokes up against the wall like Parko. I think he actually inherited that Parko from you.
So
slander!
Ken
slander.
Judge, your former coach, after a game at Waverley, if this is what Benedict Dixon's to be trusted
Mr.
on.
Mr. Dixon.
He is alleging that Mr. Judge took you aside, gave you a barrage to the point where you had precipitation out of the eyeballs.
There's a few holes
in
that story.
Now, what happened?
There's a few holes in that story.
We'll allow you to talk.
I remember the moment vividly. I still have nightmares about it, just to be honest.
What had you done?
It wasn't one-on-one. This was post-game. Post-game
okay.
Adelaide.
Right, okay.
96-ish.
Let's assume you're in the best.
No, 96-ish it was.
Right,
97.
Okay.
Did it cost Ken Judge his job?
Anyway, like he was right about the first part.
What's that?
Full-on assassination.
Along
every possible line.
So personal
he had.
Abuse,
oh,
not...
It was brutal.
In regards to your not following team rules?
No,
stuff.
Your lack of intestinal fortitude. Well, I say that reluctantly.
Was the...
And that,
that question?
I'm sure my parodies came into question at some stage.
Oh, no! Not Tony and Denise Harford.
I've got a feeling
was there terminology weak dog thrown?
I'm not sure. I may have blocked that out over the years.
Did that?
Possibly.
Was it?
It was hostile. It was like an 8 to 10 minute personal barrier.
Did you give
anything
back?
Yeah, just
on
me.
Did you give anything back?
No, because you're, well, you're told as a young man to just don't listen talk. To the coach. And cop,
so, so for 8 minutes,
at least,
keep in mind that that
whole
era,
group's there.
That Hawthorn boys were just quintessential pretty boys, and you were like
they were
a
hopeless
bulldozer.
At that age.
You were a bulldozer, just ploughing in, doing everything for them.
That was about the only decade we did nothing. Well, not decade, but you know, that was at the point where we were hopeless.
No need to bring that up.
Half. I want to know which line hit you the hardest. Which one crushed you?
And did you cry?
I can categorically say to my man Ben that there was no precipitation, but there was devastation, and I may have been broken.
Did you get deep heat in the eye?
No, there was nothing. There was broken young
19-year-old.
Did you
sort of
thought there was
gulp? Like not maybe no tears, but sort of that gulping sort of.
No, I actually didn't know. I didn't know what to do. More than likely, I went very, very
red. Did your lips quiver? Was there a reason why he said you were crying?
It must have been a quiver.
I mean, is he just making up lies?
No, devastation is the word. I was devastated. I was 19. I was devastated by this assault, this verbal assault.
Why just you?
Richo, you need to find out what line it was. So when he gets out of check again in the Sen offices, you slam him with it. You give it to Harford right in the face. What did he say?
There were so many. There were so many that could have set the scene.
But why did he fixate on you, 19-year-old you?
He thought it was my fault that we lost the game. It was a close game. Ball came out of a stoppage and halfback. Tony Modra ended up getting it.
Ooh.
And then
Tony,
I kicked the goal, won the game. So the assessment was from the coach at the time that it was my fault and the fact that I didn't do my job at that stoppage that we lost that game. And then it became...
And was that
it
fair,
was under a bit of pressure at
was
the time.
Was that fair criticism, Kent, you think?
Well, no, not considering on Monday when we did the video review. You love this, Sean.
VHS review.
VHS review, you're correct.
Might have been better cam.
Could have been. Not considering the fact that when we got to the meeting on Monday, he said his first line was, righto, boys, ready? Who's going to watch a review? Oh, by the way, Half, wasn't you. It was you, Lord.
Oh, no. Was there an apology?
That was the extent of the apology. So all that devastation and that mental anguish.
You are kidding me.
Wasn't even my fault.
Okay, so.
So what year did he get sacked from the Hawks? Was it 96? Was that the year he got sacked?
I think he was 99. Crawf's Lane. So Brownlow year, I think, wasn't it?
You can categorically say that you didn't cry.
Absolutely, yeah, I can do that. And I'd be more than happy to if
why
I
Why would Ben well, say you
why
did?
Why would Dicko?
Well, because he would have seen my devastation. I was utterly devastated.
His words were a grown man in tears crying.
Well, he's been known to put a bit of GST on a few stories, says the doodle.
Really? Is that
which
the
we
type
love
of
when we love it. Former housemate of mine, Ben, of course.
Yeah. So
did he ever see you cry as an adult?
Oh, more than likely.
Yeah.
Over what?
I cry at Cars, Toy Story. I cry
a lot. Oh,
yeah,
he cried at Toy Story.
No, he didn't.
I do.
Which part? We're talking about the first one?
The last
or the full trilogy?
The last
is that the one with Funzo? Right. What about that bloke just running that chalky with an iron fist? Just hobbling around all nice as pie, then bang, he'll toss you in the garbage truck. You're cooked. Funzo. He's a piece of work, that bloke.
We can understand you crying, man.
Oh, that is brilliant.
So categorically, just so we can have this on the record, there was barrage. There was red face.
Possibly purple.
Questionable whether there was a quivering lip.
There was uncomfortable 21 other players. That's what there was. It got to the point where it went on so long, everyone else got really uncomfortable.
There could have been a quivering lip by you.
Possibly quivering.
But never a tear.
I'd let you know.
Head in hands or you just eyeball judge?
Oh, no, eyeball. Got eyeball.
Were you sitting or standing when this was
sitting,
happening?
Sitting, front row.
Sitting.
Front left as always, eyeball.
Did you ever look down?
To the point where, this is the best part of the whole, second best part.
So you were eyeballing him the whole barrage?
Oh, you got to look eye. That's what Big Tone. Always got to look eye.
That's what Big Tone told me.
How can you do that? That's unnatural.
It is unnatural.
If someone's going at you.
8 minutes.
No,
you've got to look
at them in the eye.
Even with your other half, you would struggle for 8 minutes, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like, maintain eye contact.
That's hard to do.
It's bizarre.
Big
Tone
says,
I think that's why he kept going you, because you would not break eye contact.
Well, this is the second best part of the story.
He's beating
me
at this.
My dad always said, if someone's, your coach is talking to you, doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, look him in the eye and just respect him in that position. So
well,
I did.
Well done.
The second best part of the story, apart from the bit that said, it wasn't you, it was Lordy, bloody Aaron Lord, was that, I did get abused at one stage as part of the verbal assault for looking me in the eye. He ran out of stuff.
I told you.
He ran out. So he abused me. Don't look at me in the eye.
What are you looking at?
That's what I got. That was because he ran
what
out of stuff.
What are you trying to prove?
He'd used up all his material and he had nothing left.
This kid's
don't look
game.
At me in the eye.
This we need to get to the bottom of it. We need Judgy.
I've spoken to Judgy about this. We had a
can we get him on?
A couple of
can
beers.
We get him on air one day to go through it? That could be funny stuff.
8 to 2 on Casual Friday. Richo and Ruta with us. Sean Maloney, of course, from Fox Sports, the number one man there for the Super Rugby coverage, is in studio as well, ahead of tonight's Rebels and Auckland Blues game at Amy Park. Sporting plethora this afternoon, the evening in Melbourne town, the best city in the world. Hey, Sean, just on the back of that story that we went through before the break.
Yes.
Did you ever cop a big spray in your career?
Well, that's a good question. I'm just trying to think. I gave a couple. I gave a couple.
Or was rugby too gentlemanly at times?
No, it gets heated. But, I mean, you entered it to a whole other level of weird with your 8 minutes of eye contact, which I still don't believe.
I think we deserve it now. I mean, well, I was feeling bad for you, but the fact that you did not look away for 8 minutes.
Oh, well, you got to look
out of respect. I always look AD.
Mr. Miyagi told
Mr.
you, Miyagi. Look
no,
eye.
No, no, no. Not for that long. That's
the basic law of life.
Always look AD. Sort of, no. You've got to look away every now and then. No.
Hang on a second.
Every
Mr.
morning.
No, Mr. Miyagi. He let Daniel-san wander off into the dark at the prom, Cobra Kai lurking. I don't want to take a single word Miyagi has to say.
Miyagi was teaching him a lesson because he knew.
No, and the next thing you know, you're pinned up against the mesh fence.
And what did he
you've
learn?
You've got a shower on your head, and the Cobra Kai dressed as skeletons are kicking the life out of you.
And then what
no,
do you
Miyagi.
Learn? What do you learn from that, though? Because then you come back some 15 minutes later, and when you're down and out and your ankle's gone, you unleash.
No. You missed a very important insert of Miyagi into that scene to come in and hi-ya!
Yeah,
take
right.
out all the cobras.
Yeah, but that was a given.
Jeez.
But then
it was a given.
But it was no, about mercy. Ralph. About
Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, Ralphie boy. The fact that he had to look deep inside.
Deep,
Shawnee. Deep inside.
He had Elizabeth Shue on the sidelines. He could do no wrong.
He did too.
Oh, wow. Didn't she blossom in later shows?
I may have cried. Oh,
hello. Really?
Wowee. Wasn't she in one with Nicolas Cage, some movie?
Yeah, you're leaving Las Vegas.
Wow.
Drank himself to death. She played the role of a hooker.
That's right.
Cocktail?
She
was in Cocktail, wasn't she?
With Ryan Brown and Tom Cruise.
Sure she was. She went to a different level in this one.
Yeah. This will make you feel old. Ralph turned 53 this week.
Daniel.
53.
Daniel LaRusso is 53.
Daniel-san.
Is he really?
I feel disgusted.
What about Miyagi? How old's Miyagi?
Is he still with us?
It'd have to be.
I'd like to think he'd be still eating sushi.
He'd
be as old as St.
Kevin. Can live to 120 in the 6th century.
Solid.
Patnarita's 200.
No, he's poor old Mr. Miyagi. He passed some 8 to 10 years ago, in fact. 9 years ago for Mr. Miyagi. Wasn't aware of that.
I mean, we do that first thing in the morning. The Richardson family. We
wax on, wax off.
Well, we go through the key philosophies throughout the day. Look high, wax on, wax off.
Just but not look high 8 minutes. That's look, just freakish.
Constantly look high.
Look high. Stare people until they back away from you.
Do you ever reference any other 80s movies that the Richardsons tap into? Caddyshack, is that a go-to?
Pretty Woman. You've got three daughters.
Pretty Woman.
Yeah, you want them all to be grow up to be high-class prostitutes, of course, don't you?
Well, no, the lesson out of that wasn't the prostitute thing. The lesson was pick the really rich one.
Yeah.
There was the girls who watched that. Yeah. There was young girls who watched that and said, I want to be a prostitute when I grow up.
No, there wasn't.
There was. At Canterbury Girls Secondary College.
Don't talk about yourself.
There was quite a few of us.